With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The following podcast was recorded on June 20th, 2021, from 11:25 a.m. until 12:21 p.m. Events occur in real time. 24/7. About you, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're just having the worst day ever. It's the worst day ever. 24 season one recap podcast and Post Show Recaps talking season one, episode 4 of 24. I'm Josh Wigler, joined here by Emily Fox. Emily, how's it going?
Hi, it's going well.
Emily, this is our fourth 24 podcast of the week. Really excited about that. As everyone knows, worst day ever, we release four podcasts about 24 every six. I'm kidding. This one we're recording in 2021.
That was a crazy goal. That was insane. When I re-listened to everything, I was like, ew, really?
Look,
did I say yes to that? But I was doing nothing a year ago.
It was a different time. We were doing nothing. We really thought we could do it. We were pacing to do it. Like, I think that there was a world where we were like crushed. We were going to crush 24.
And then we like shifted the plan. We were going to do this at the Patreon launch. We shifted that plan and we just like lost all of our momentum on 24. And we're like, we'll get back to it someday. We've got those podcasts. They're fun. I wonder if they're super dated. And then like when the idea came to like, we'll do the 24 podcast. If we hit 500 patrons of Post Show Recaps, you can sign up, become a member, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. And once we did that, once we crossed that threshold, we would bring the 24 podcast out to light. I was like, all right, well, are we just like going to start from scratch or what? And
I was like, nah, man, this is good stuff. You were stick with it.
You were like, go listen back. And I did. I was like, okay, that is still pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that is still pretty funny stuff.
I mean, in the world of a show that's already super old, did you think that the reaction of me and you was going to change that much from 1 year?
I guess not. I guess not. And so it just did require, like, every once in a while, just like me chiming in on the recording, being like, hey, it's me in 2021.
Yeah.
We're not doing 5 podcasts a week. They are going to be short. We're going to keep them short. Today, we are off the clock. This is 24, worst day ever. Off the clock. Why don't we call it that? That's cool, right? And that was off the cuff. Just kind of came up with that.
Man, you're popping off right now.
Every
look at
four
you go.
Episodes or every few episodes, we'll see like if there's an episode that really warrants it. We'll turn the clock off. We're going to turn the time limit off. We're not going to.
So this really warranted it because like poor Janet's just like bleeding out on the road.
Well,
getting yelled at by people instead of helped.
Well, it's less about that and more about like this is the first one that you and I are recording in over a year. Like, let's get our groove back a little bit. Though I got to say, Fox, it sounds like we still got it.
I should hope so. 15 years, man. Going strong.
Have we been recording the 24 podcast for 15 years? Is that what you're saying?
Joshua.
I'm just joking. I know it's about our relationship together.
Our relationship
has been going strong. Yeah, no, I want to make sure that like we're everything's smooth. We remember what we're doing here. We remember the show. And also, of course, this is an opportunity to stop down for feedback because people have listened to the podcasts that we've done now. This is a good spot to just like kind of stop down, gauge what people are thinking.
Take the temperature of the room, huh?
Yeah.
Sorry, that feels like really on the nose for the past year.
No, it's fine.
Get your digital thermometer out and assess temperature.
We will take the temperature of the room. We'll take the temperature of 24. Yeah. So this won't be beholden to the this is a 24-minute podcast rule. Though I will say that much of the feedback I'd received, a lot of the feedback is like, this podcast is great. It's super stressful. We really love it. And then some of the feedback
has been like, 24 minutes isn't enough. You guys need to do longer podcasts. And like, I just want to be like really clear, and I want to let you speak to this, Emily Fox, to this issue of like, 24 minutes, not enough time. You guys need to do longer podcasts. And I'm the one who keeps saying like, Emily Fox isn't going to sit here and do more than 24 minutes of a podcast every single week. Am I speaking out of school? Do you have thoughts on the matter?
I like a nice compact podcast like this because there are so many episodes. And I think once we get started, it's very easy to kind of like save a bunch of them and listen to them all at once. That being said, if you're just, you flew through all of them already and you're waiting for the next one, like that's tough because it is so short. And I understand that. But I also think it's fun to have a time limit because you're so talkative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun to cut you off and be like, it's done.
It's stressful. It's done. But you're enjoying it. I just want, like, if you're not enjoying it, we can mess with the format. But I feel like unless you're BSing me, I think that you enjoy doing it in the tight timeline.
I think it's fun this way because it's a challenge.
Yeah, you love a challenge.
I love a challenge, but I also like having a feedback episode where we're not freaking out every 2 seconds, too. Like, I think
where
if
we
it's
could
staggered,
go,
yeah,
really
stop it.
Slow.
Sometimes on podcasts, you're like, but what about this other thing? And I'm like, no, don't go down that road.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that this is like a fun challenge for both of us.
Yeah.
Because I like the fact that you have to really distill your thoughts and be succinct with recapping everything. I think that's fun.
It's fun. It's the word that I want to use is there's something almost athletic about it.
Uh-huh.
But that is a horrible misuse of the word. I think it is dishonoring athleticism. To say that there's an athletic quality.
Sure, okay.
But it makes me feel like Jack Bauer. How about that?
Yeah. You know? There you go. You kind of have to be quick on your feet.
Yeah.
Really retell this story and kind of like bring out the notes that are worth, ruminating on and then discern what isn't and keep moving.
Yeah.
You got to keep going.
Yeah. Emily, I'm not going to be able to properly credit this. And I put out the call in the Post Your Recaps Patreon Discord. I said, whoever said this, please raise your hand because I thought this was hysterical. That someone who, again, like I wish I could credit properly. So just identify yourself with the proof when you can, was like,
show us all your credentials.
Yeah, show us your badge. I'm getting it slowly.
CTU.
Yeah.
CTU, what does that mean?
And so this person was like, for anyone who is upset that these podcasts are short, then what I would tell them is to listen to them on half speed. Listen to Worst Day Ever at a 0.5 speed, and it sounds like Drunk History of 24.
That's kind of funny, actually.
So I don't know. I'm just passing that along. I haven't done this. I haven't listened to it. I have gone back and I've listened to the podcasts we've released like 17
same.
Times.
Not that many times.
You
me,
only
no.
did it the one time. You like binge listened to everything the other day to like get ready to like come back.
Yeah.
But like I've listened and re-listened and re-listened and listened again just to like make sure like, can we release these? Does this make sense? And so, like, I've listened to, and I've had, like, other people, like, in advance, like, can you listen to this? Does this make sense? And, like, everyone's like, yeah, you just probably want to, like, couch the 5 days thing. This was
too much
feedback from the great Ariel that Gomez is. Ariel had written in, and he'd said, I can't wait for the 5 new episodes to drop all at once next Monday. So that was great. But yeah, I had to like go back and listen. It's like, this is all going to track, right? All of this is going to make sense. And so, like, I've listened to the pods multiple times, but I've yet to do it the Drunk History style, the Jack Bauer Power Hour. Did you ever know about the Jack Bauer Power Hour?
Of course not.
Jack Bauer
what
Power
is that?
Hour. Jack Bauer Power Hour. This because like 24 was like happening. I was in college. Season three. Yeah. Wow. How did you know that?
Because I re-listened to our podcast.
We talked about
that.
Huh?
That. Yeah.
And so season three, Jack Bauer Power Hour is like, you take a shot of beer every minute, during, an episode of 24.
Ew.
Yeah, it was not great. It was not great.
You so, probably like, got pretty drunk.
It wasn't great is what I keep saying. It wasn't great.
I think it would be better if you took a shot every time you see the clock ticking.
Yeah. Of beer or of something else, of something harder?
Well, how often does the clock tick? Like the clock, 7 or 8 times?
The clock ticks. I mean, so there's, you know, what, like 5-6 commercial breaks?
Yeah, so
but double that.
Beer. So
double that beer. Because
yeah,
you come in and out.
After.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't
that's
want,
better than
you don't
one
that.
Every minute.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to
I think
that.
I remember hearing about this, actually, now that you're talking about it, where you were, well, you were like so into 24, and I knew that living next door to you, even though we didn't talk for like the first couple of months.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved this show. And it has been really, really fun to like go back and like gear back up to this mode, because it is like there's so many ways in which it's like, I don't know, when you like when you think about like your childhood and things that like when you were like a kid and you were a teenager, like I was so awesome. And then like you think back at that, and you're like, I was not that awesome. Like it's kind of got that quality of like I go back and I'm watching like old 24 and like I'm locating myself in this place of like, man, this show is like the coolest show. And then there's some stuff that is like so deeply hokey that is just like hilarious to revisit. And then some of the stuff is like, oh, that's not bad. Like, or that's not good. Like, that's bad.
Yeah,
that's not great.
That's super problematic. And yeah. Then, there are a lot of things where I'm like, ooh.
But then there's.
I feel like this is going to get worse.
But then there's.
And some, not in a good way.
Then there's some stuff where I still just completely unironically, and I don't give a shit, still feel like Jack Bauer throwing the keys at the guard and saying, here, hold my keys. And then he knocks him out. I'm like, yeah, Jack Bauer. Yes. Yes.
I laughed so hard at that, where I was like, how did that guy fall for
it? Got him. Dragged him. Unbelievable.
So good.
Unbelievable.
So good.
Anyway, so we've got a whole episode to recap. We've got some feedback as well to get through. This was a funny one from Ashley Page, who said, there's definitely a joke in here somewhere about how Worst Day Ever drops on Mondays, which is true. We do drop the podcast on a Monday is where we like to land. But we'll save the feedback for after the recap. Of course, plenty of ways that you can send your feedback in for Worst Day Ever. You can email me is probably the safest way to go. Josh. Mm. At postshowrecaps.com. That's Josh at postshowrecaps.com. That's going to come straight to me. That way you're not risking spoiling Emily, who still does not know anything. We watched through episode 3 in May 2020, and yet you didn't watch it again. And then you started watching it again this past week. You had binged all four. You rewatched those 3, and then you watched the fourth, and I just heard you howling from the other room. It was amazing.
My virgin ears and eyes. I didn't want to ruin it. I want to come fresh to this.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Commitment to the bit.
Is that what this is? A commitment to the bit?
I think so.
You love a bit.
I do love a bit. So send the feedback in. That way is definitely the best way to do it. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Round Howard if you've got any questions that you want to talk about with 24. For spoiler stuff, I do want to do a spoiler version of a 24 season 1 recap, but I don't want to expose Emily to any of that. And I think it is going to be a thing that is for the patrons of Post Show Recaps, without whom this podcast simply is not possible. The people who signed up for the Patreon when we announced that we would be doing a 24 podcast, if we reached this 500 patron threshold, this podcast really is for you. We're so grateful for you. So that spoiler podcast is going to happen for the patrons. But I want to get enough feedback for it. We currently don't have that. So I want to make sure we've got enough feedback to do a spoiler filled feedback.
Feed us
podcast.
Your back.
Yeah,
feed us your back.
Well, don't feed Emily your back. She doesn't need any of this, but I will take your back. Feed it to me. Send it to me, Josh at PojoRecaps.com. Just clearly label it that you're talking about the spoiler stuff. I already have a few. Chris Body, I'm looking at you. I see what you've sent in. There's definitely people who have sent stuff in, and we will get that spoiler recap off the ground once we've got enough feedback to get into. And I think also like maybe we need to like reach a certain threshold in the storyline of this season.
That's fair. I feel like we're still just getting started.
All right. Lots of like preamble at the start of this one because we are off the clock. But let's get back on the clock. Let's do the recap, Emily. First of all, before we do, though, you did just like you pounded through these episodes again the other day. And if I'm not mistaken, you'd given straight A's or you'd given like an A minus here and there to some of these episodes over the past couple of episodes, these first few. Once at the end of each podcast, Did they, going back and watching those first three, did they hold up to that letter grade?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was still pretty fresh with the storyline. It was good to be reminded of some of the smaller details that one would forget in a year's time.
Yeah.
But I feel pretty good about all the characters and how I judge them or do not judge them. That judgment still stands, whether it's positive or negative. Like, Terry is still a terrible mom.
You still don't care for Terry Bauer that
much. Yeah, Terry is short for terrible mom. But
give her time. We'll see. We'll see if she can change her mind. I know.
It's just the kind of thing where, like, she's just...
You have to judge minute by minute. I understand. You don't know anything that's coming. I'm judging minute by minute.
I also know that it's late.
It's late.
At this point, what time is it? Like, 3 or 4 in the morning?
We're up to 3 a.m.
Simply nobody sleeps in this. I'm exhausted watching all of them. Yes. I continue to feel this way about it. Even with, like, the guy that they chased down towards the end of the episode, I'm like, how come he's not sleeping? He went to have a smoke break at 3 in the morning. Like, you know, I know he's connected to all of the bad stuff that's happening, but perhaps he
Listen,
gets
Emily,
a little shut-eye.
Not everybody goes to bed at 7:30 p.m. like you do, you know?
I have a routine.
You got so mad at me the other night. I, like, came to bed at, like, 11:30. Like, you need to be coming to sleep earlier. I'm like, it's 11:30, Fox. What's the big deal?
Listen, yeah. I have a routine. It's really wonderful since, you know, we've been locked inside for 15 months.
We're back. We're coming back out, though, man. Like, we could go to bed at 12:15 isn't even so
but
bad.
You can't get mad for how comfortable a bed is and
I understand.
Fact that you have Discovery Plus in front of you at your fingertips.
I get it. All right, let's hop
down with a little tea.
Okay.
Let's cat at your side. Like,
let's hop into this.
What's not to like?
Now you're really rubbing it in for the Bowers because they have none of these creature comforts at this point in time. It's 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. is the episode that we are talking about. And when we begin, it is 3 on the dot, and poor
freaking Janet.
Poor Janet has just been lying on the road for you and me for over a year now.
It feels very drawn out for me. I'd like someone to come get her.
For over a year, you and I have just been waiting for someone to help poor Janet.
And instead, someone drives by and beeps at her, being like, "You idiot, get out of the road." Like, oh. That's right. She's at her, like, she's in her right mind. She's in a good physical state to move out of the way, guy. It's not like she got hit by a car, her arm broken, shot up with heroin, and kidnapped.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. So I
read the room.
You watched this episode twice. You watched this one once without me, and then you watched it with me in preparation
Indeed.
For the podcast.
Indeed.
And I heard you screaming with laughter as soon as you fired up this episode. I was like, what's going on? And you go, someone's beeping at Janet. And I hadn't remembered that. And I was watching it with you. And this guy just, like, beeps at her. Like, the episode begins with some guy just saying, what are you, an idiot?
Yeah. Like, who does that? She's like, dead in the street.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
She's not dead. We don't think, but
she's
like
dying
not doing
in the street.
Well.
She's looking bad. Meanwhile,
that's like yelling at a deer in the middle of the street, being like, "What are you, an idiot?" Like a dead deer or like an injured animal. Like anybody in the street who's bleeding out,
Except
you're gonna
human.
Call them an idiot.
Yeah. Some people are awful, I guess, is the point.
Everyone apparently is in North Hollywood, which is not the case in real life. As far as I'm concerned, I've met really wonderful people in North Hollywood. Don't like the portrayal of North Hollywood. People from North Hollywood should be mad about this.
There's the bag lady who we'll get to, who is just like sort of like walking in the background of the shot. And I think that, unfortunately,
favorite character of the episode.
Emily, I have to tell you, I don't think this character ever returns, which is a shame because I think Emily just found her favorite character on 24. We'll talk about her a little bit later.
We'll get there.
Kim, meanwhile, is really upset. She's like screaming at Dan and
How
Rick.
Could she not be?
Like, we got
her best friend was left.
Janet, she's been on the side of the road for a year for Josh and Emily. Someone's got to save her. Meanwhile, it's only been a couple of minutes. But rightfully traumatizing. All right, it's 3:03:31 in the morning when Jack comes to Nina and goes, Nina, I'm so sorry. Oh my God. I'm really sorry about all of that. Yeah, God, the accusations. It was real. I was red hot. She's like, you're such a jerk, Jack. Oh my God.
Yeah,
you're such
a
jerk.
I'm so glad we stopped dating, and now that I'm dating Tony.
And Tony, meanwhile, is like, what? Really? You're glad? And meanwhile, Jack's like, all right. So here's what's up. This is why I was so red hot.
Jack's like, so like, listen, a lot of things are happening.
A lot of
right
shit's
now.
Gone down. Remember Richard Walsh, our boss, who we love?
Dead.
He's dead. Remember
dead.
Scott Baylor?
Dead.
She's like, I don't. And she's like, yeah, dead. Well, anyway, dead. If he did, he's also dead. Dead. And they had
thumbs up.
They had proof of a mole. They had proof of a mole. There was a mole, and we're trying to figure out who it is. And that's why I'm so freaked out, because it was you on the computer and we've obviously mm-hmm. busted it, but like, this was bad. And Jamie's
and she's
trying
like,
to figure
why
it out.
Would you think this? Why couldn't yeah. you just like let me in on it? And he's yeah. like, well, you don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's really late.
Kim's missing.
Yeah. And so he was like, well, we gotta talk to Jamie. We've got a circle of trust. We've got a circle of trust. And we're just trying to figure out what's going on there. And Nina like sort of has like this shell shocked quality where she's like, oh my God. she's like, oh my God, it's just a lot. Meanwhile, at 3:04:57, David Palmer, he comes home. He's back, like the Secret Service had found him. And like he calls Carl, is like, Carl, so what do you know about Keith? Carl's like, dude, it's literally been 20 minutes.
Carl's like, I'm just driving. Like, yeah. Give me a second.
I'm driving, man. I'm driving.
I can't like, Google and drive at the same time.
Yeah, I don't even know that I can Google on this phone.
I
it's
can't
2001.
Google this at this time. You're right. I should have been making some calls, but no one's freaking awake at 3:20
in the
morning.
It's very early. And David's like, I want to know by 4 o'clock, all right? That's before the end of this episode. I want to know. Sherry is very concerned. She's like, David, where have you been? What's going on? David's like, I'm just dealing with a thing. She's like,
if I were Sherry, I would have gone to bed like I said I was going to. I don't understand this.
Sherry is like, I'm very concerned, David. This is all very sketchy, and there's this threat against your life. And David Palmer's like, oh.
Is that why everyone's so
yeah,
upset?
Yeah, I thought it was something serious. David Palmer is just like, nah, you know, it's another day. He's going to have
well,
a great line about
this. He just watched his windshield.
Soon.
He just watched his windshield get cracked open. Like, yes. You know, he's desensitized to a lot of this stuff.
He's doing fine. It's 3:09 and 12 seconds as Tony Almeida comes to Jack. Hey, Jack, I got the passenger list. All right. And so like Jack says, he's like, the plane took off with an empty seat. Why would I do that? Huh? And Jack's like, I don't know. Planes take off with empty seats all the time, man. What's your big deal? And Jamie.
And I got in trouble for talking because. Yeah. Apparently, Tony Almeida whispers throughout this entire series, and Josh yelled at me because
well,
I
you
talked
were talking
too loud.
Over Tony whispering. I was like, I'm trying to take
you
notes
like,
here,
he's
Fox.
The quietest,
he's
quietest
the quietest character,
character
on the
Emily.
Show.
I'm
like, I need
sorry.
To hear what he has to say. Also, I'm just trying to like savor every word. So Jack and Jamie,
savor every soul patch movement.
Jack and Jamie and Nina, they're like talking, and like they look over at Tony at one point, and he's just kind of looking back at them, and he's got what, Emily? What does he have in his hands? This thing that made Emily go, oh. Ah!
He's got his Cubs mug.
Yes.
Which is what you used to have.
Tony Almeida. It's a character note because Carlos Bernard, the actor who plays Tony Almeida, is of Chicago and loves a Cubs mug, that Tony Almeida has a Cubs mug as well. And the only thing more iconically associated with Tony Almeida than the soul patch is the Cubs mug.
Yeah. So you used to have a Cubs mug.
Yeah, specifically because of Tony Almeida.
And I never really understood that. I think I always thought it was something having to do with your relationship with Rob, like Rob
no.
sent it to you or something.
No.
But anyway,
I guess it has something to do with my relationship with Rob insofar as we both love Tony Almeida.
Okay. But like the Cubs sort of like, I don't know, like sticker or whatever fell off of it a couple of years ago.
It was a poorly
and I tried
made
to
Cubs
glue it.
Mug.
Well, yeah, it was really cheaply made, but it was exact replica of like what you see Tony drinking out of. So we had it in sort of a cabinet for a while. And then finally, probably in the last year or so before
yeah,
I put the two together, I was like, can I toss
Should this? I get a new Cubs thing- mug? Probably.
The last thing we need in this world is another mug.
I'm going to get it. Listen, the last time I said I'm going to get a product on the show, I went ahead and got it, the Jack Bauer mask. So I think I'll probably go ahead and get a Cubs
Listening
mug.
Back to that and hearing your muffled voice through it is like one of the funniest parts
Very
of this.
Very haunting and terrifying.
it's terrifying.
We'll talk about the mask again, I'm sure. George Mason shows up. It's a lockdown. CTU's locked down. And I gotta say, like, I'm glad that we took the year off from watching it, because I think if I had seen, like, George Mason walk in and go, lockdown, I think I would have been, like,
triggered.
What? Yeah, I'd be like, no.
And like now, like I'm inoculated to it. Now I'm calloused to it. Like, I've, you know, we've been through what we've been through and we'll go through whatever we have to go through ever again. Like, you know, like it's like now more ingrained, like culturally. But like back then, I think like just would have been way too raw. It's like, it's a lockdown.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So Jack is like going to hit the road. He's like, I got to get out of here because they're clearly coming for me. And so he hits the road. But he has to like bypass this security guard who is like guarding.
Who's like the super sarcastic.
Yeah, he goes, it's a lockdown. And Jack's like, wait, you're serious? He's like, yeah, I am, Jack, you dummy.
Yeah, like, what a jerk.
And Jack's like, I just need to go and get into my car. And he goes, lockdown means lockdown. And Jack's like, all right, fine, then you hold the keys. And he drops the keys in front of the security guard. Security guard, like, his gaze goes down to the keys and instantly, like, boom, right in the solar plexus. Like, Jack Bauer just, like, oosh, bosh, ka, boom, and just, like, knocks this dude out. One of my favorite recurring things on 24, Emily, they love, like, a little bit of a CTU scuffle. Like, whenever there's, like, some shenanigans afoot at CTU and someone has to fight somebody in a CTU hallway, chef's kiss.
Here's what I'm thinking about. If I tried to do the exact same maneuver to get past a security guard, no, I could just see a security guard stepping forward and like pushing me back. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's so improbable that this guy would fall for the key trick.
Yeah, but you're not Jack Bauer, unfortunately.
I know.
In many ways you are. In some of these finer finesse details, neither of us are Jack Bauer.
You're right.
All right.
I would definitely cut someone's thumb off, though, to ID them later on.
Now you will, now that you've thought about it a little bit more.
I've had a year to think about it, and guys, I've come to the conclusion that I would cut a digit off if it served
me. You've come around.
So watch out for your iPhones and your fingers.
Everyone at CTU is getting admonished with like the lockdown procedures, and Nina is mad at Tony. She's like, you did this, right? It's like, yeah. She's like, why did you do it? He's like, because. It's like, you got to give me a little bit more than that. He's like, I can't. My dialogue is pretty thin at this point. And
I'm just a shell of a person with a soul patch.
Yeah. And she's like, but seriously, why? He's like, someone had to do it. Jack's out of control. So there's nothing that Nina can do right now. At 3:17:35, Agent Aaron Pierce, my boy. He's the Secret Service guy. Who I had told you, like, he may not seem like much.
But he's like one of your faves.
I love this guy so much. Agent Pierce is like a Hallmark classic 24 character.
Okay.
And he's like, he comes in, he's like, there's a serious threat against your life, Senator Palmer.
Wow. I feel very weird that Bill Clinton just stepped into this role.
Bill Clinton was a president that I once protected as a member of the Secret Service. Agent Pierce reporting for duty.
And Agent Pierce is like, I don't think you're taking this seriously enough. And David Palmer with like the baller ass line of, I take serious threats every morning with my orange juice.
Yeah.
My God, the cojones on Senator.
Do you know what
Palmer.
Was crazy is we were drinking orange juice when we watched this.
I know. It was very crazy.
It felt very apropos.
It felt great. So there's a threat from overseas. He says, serious people want you dead today. The threat's only against Palmer, not the family, but they're going to increase security on the family. Pierce says, we need you to think about rescheduling the events today, like this breakfast that you have coming up in a few hours. And Senator Palmer's like, the breakfast is important.
I love breakfast. Didn't I just tell you orange juice?
Did you not hear what I just said? It's the day of the California presidential primary. He's got to go to the breakfast, he says. So he's holding strong. Meanwhile, Keith, his son, who is in trouble. Shows up and he's like, hey, you want to watch TV? And David's like, why are you still awake? It is like almost 4 a.m. And Keith Palmer says, if I'm not sleeping by 3, I'm not sleeping. I'm like, eventually you have to, though, right? Are you just not, you're not sleeping at all? Ever?
I don't like that for him.
I don't like that.
I feel
for
bad.
Him. That's where I'm like, all right, now it's a little late. Like, now it's a little late. Maybe now it's time to start thinking about going to sleep.
Around 3:20.
Yeah. At 3:19:09, Kim Bauer. Yeah, evoking not Jack Bauer, but Jack Shepard, as she says, we have to go back.
Oh, God.
We have to go back. She wants to go back for Janet. And Rick's like, no, she's dead. And Kim's like, Rick, you suck, man. Like, sometimes you're cool, and then other times you're such a jerk. Rick, well, you just got to start thinking, well, you keep letting Dan talk for you. And Dan's like, actually, she raises a good point. We probably should go back. And Kim's like,
I do
you,
keep talking
Dan.
For you.
freaking Dan. Thank you. And Dan's like, no, 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 no. You misunderstand me. Like, we got to go back and kill her. Because if she's alive, she could ideas.
I got to be the dirtiest of dirt bags right now and really just like seal the deal.
At 3:21:18, Terry Bauer and Alan York get pulled over by a cop because they've been speeding. Because their kids are in trouble. And the cop is just like, yeah, but you're speeding. And Alan's like, yeah, but our daughters seemingly have been kidnapped. I don't care. And they just like get in, and then like Alan York gets out of the car. He's like, this is unbelievable. And the police officer's like, you are severely under arrest immediately. and like while all of this is going on, Kim and the Dan van drive right back.
Which is ridiculous.
Like they drive right by Alan and Terry and Emily Fox. This is the quote from Emily Fox watching this episode. She goes, this is unbelievable. Ships in the night.
Yeah.
Is the Emily Fox quote that's followed immediately by you once again admonishing Terry Bauer. This is what you said. I wrote it down and like internalized it.
I remember what
it.
I said.
She,
yeah.
She go, Emily said, a mother's intuition would know. Terry. She then whispered like, Terry. You were so mad. Getting a real hate into Terry Bauer.
Who's driving around at this time of night? Someone with a glow stick around their license plate?
I don't know.
That seems suspicious to me. Maybe they went to a party.
Uh-huh. It's possible. All right. At 3:27:52, I don't know how much I need to get into this. This is like George being like, Nina. She's like, what? Nina, what? It's like, you were sleeping with Jack. And so like, he just
George
like,
is like such a little bitch. Sorry, but it's true.
Xander
Berkeley
as George Mason.
He has such a Jack Bauer complex, and he feels really threatened and upset that he was tranquilized, and like this is his way of retaliating, and it's just toxic masculinity, and I am not here for it.
George Mason's a turd for sure, and
he's
like,
such a turd,
and he's like really laying into Nina, like maybe Jack, he always talks about the affair, and she's like, he definitely doesn't, and you're just being an asshole.
Yeah, you're just being a jerk because you got tranked in the neck.
Yeah, I think it was the knee, to be fair.
Whatever.
Well, it doesn't matter. 3:29:25, Jack Bauer pulls up to 18166 San Fernando Road, which is the address that they pulled off of the key card. Jack is going to call Terry. He's trying to get Terry on the phone, but she's dealing with Alan York being like in big trouble with the law.
Also, like, here's the other thing. If you're Terry, how are you not like, hi, wife of CTU? There is a call that's been put out for my daughter being kidnapped. Well, by the way, I called 911 and like you should be checking that even though this guy just like totally foiled.
She does, right? Like she does say like,
well, she says that, but she should also be like, hey, by the way, like let me forcefully explain to you all of these other reasons why you need to pay attention to us and not hold us up.
She got the wrong guy.
But she's like standing around being like, oh, this is really troubling. Like, no, you are a mother. Mothers go out and get their kids back.
Okay, well
they don't stand for anything.
Well, they also
other than like
Emily, they got a TV show to make. You know, they got to draw this out a little bit. As for the CTU,
they didn't write her well. I'm mad about it.
As for the CTU piece, Jack goes into this building. He sees the guy lighting the cigarette. He gets into a shootout with this guy, and then a police officer shows up, who's like Jack's partner for the rest of the episode.
I feel bad about.
And she shows up, just like, show me your badge, because he says federal agent. And he passes the badge. She goes, CTU? What the hell is that? So if she had even said CT, the guy's like, that's made up. That's not real.
Well, like, Terry could have been like, my husband's an FBI agent. We're like trying to track her down.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, we need help right now, and you're slowing us up.
All right, they keep pursuing the guy. Terry once again bungles the situation. She calls Jack at the exact wrong time. She returns the call, And really, we should also be like saying, Jack Bauer, silence your phone, dude. Like, you do not.
It's so rude.
That is like such a boomer move. He has the phone on. Like, dude, turn that off. Chloe would never allow this.
Well,
by
no.
The way.
Like, Jack Bauer in real time now probably didn't silence the button noises on his phone. Like, he has an iPhone, and you know, he's just like, hold on, I got to get to this.
Yeah. I'm playing Words with Friends against Chloe.
Yeah, exactly.
She always beats me. Very frustrating.
If there's one piece of advice I can, you know, bestow upon everybody, no matter whether it's 2001 or 2021, please silence
the noises. At least if you're silence around Emily, noises. Do Emily the courtesy because she really goes nuts with it.
It's so annoying.
Jack tells the officer, turn off your radio. And it's like, dude, the nerve. Like, you're the
one. Yeah, like, how dare you? She actually could use this for good.
You should have started by saying, like, I'm sorry about my phone. Could you please silence yours?
Like, what a jerk.
At 3:30:18, there's just still more of George is just grilling Nina. He shot me with a trank gun. She's like, yeah, that's why you're upset.
Yeah, that's why you're embarrassed, you big buffoon.
Yeah, all right. After that, we go back to, like, this chase where it's Jack and this police officer who are trying to pursue this guy who's played by John Hawks, by the way.
Her name's Jessica, right? The police officer?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And so John Hawks is the actor who plays this guy that they're pursuing. Great actor of Deadwood fame, Saul Starr on Deadwood.
Oh, okay.
He's just been in a ton of stuff. He's on Lost. He plays Lennon in season 6 of Lost. Not exactly a favorite character of mine, but I love the actor. So it was cool. I'd completely forgotten that he was on the show. So that was fun to see.
Oh, that's cool.
They almost shoot a janitor, poor guy. She's like, get down and definitely stay here, because if you don't obey my orders here, I'm going to get killed later in the episode.
Yeah. I was like, this guy's going to be trouble later. And you were like, huh?
At 3:36 in the morning, in 10 seconds, the Dan van shows back up to Janet, who is still just on the ground.
Like, no one else has helped.
No one has helped.
It's absurd.
And Dan is like, oh, maybe she is dead, but we have to be sure. And Kim's like, no, don't do it. And this,
yeah, she's been taped by this point. She can't even speak.
This part I have never forgotten, Emily, is that, like, the move to kill Janet on Dan's part is he's going to take his handgun and, like, put his arm, like, outside the door
of
the car. And what's his plan? He's just, like, going to, like, slow drive up to Janet and just, like, pop her? Like,
shoot her?
Like, is he just like, I got to do this real slow. Got to get real close, real quick. And
well, I thought they were going to, like, slowly run her over. And I was like, poor choice here. Also, please don't do that.
Yeah.
And then,
it was,
like,
going to be gnarly, but, like, I just, like, he's, what are you going to do? You're just, like, do, like, the slowest drive-by ever?
Yeah, like, and how does that not splatter onto your car?
Yeah,
like, you big freaking idiot.
Well, as Emily said at this point in time, because the ambulance does show up, Emily, like, you just, like, exasperated, you just, like, rolled your eyes so hard, you're like, these are the worst kidnappers of all time.
They're so bad at it. Like, just stop.
Just
get Kim to where you need to and stop.
At 3:40 in the morning, Jamie is going to be called in for questioning by George Mason, and Nina's like, George Mason's a dick, don't be intimidated by him. We gotta stay loyal to Jack. And she's like, but wait, isn't George higher ranking than Jack? She's like, yeah, but we're being loyal to Richard Walsh, and you loved Richard Walsh, and he's dead. And Jamie's like, you're right, okay, cool, good pep talk. We go back to Jack and the cop. They're just running around. All that you get is from Jessica the cop. She's like, this place is like a maze. Yeah, and there's a lot of, like, North Hollywood mazes that we seem to be dealing with at this point in time.
Yeah, less storage containers and dumpsters and tight-fitting corners. Yes. It's a lot.
At 3:41:56 in the morning, this is when David Palmer gets the name from Carl, who's called back, by the way, with, you know, almost 20 minutes to spare. Pretty good on deadlines, Carl. Effective fixer, this guy.
I hope he went to sleep afterwards.
He says George Ferragamo. That's the name. George Ferragamo. This is Keith's therapist. And the claim from Maureen Kingsley, the reporter, who David Palmer will say, like, I really respect her as a reporter, so this is really tweaking me out. That according to her, George Ferragamo, the therapist, claims that Keith confessed to killing Lyle Gibson, that this man did not commit suicide, but Keith killed him.
So what have we learned from this? Never tell your therapist the absolute truth.
Never tell your therapist anything. No, just kidding. No. And so,
but, like, maybe don't confess murder to them.
Or how about don't murder? Would be better, I think.
You know what? You're right.
I think
you're
probably where we should go with
but
that.
But also, isn't this, like, a client, you know, therapist privilege? Like, you're not supposed to to sort of divulge that information
to
the outside.
I wonder if there is a line you cross where you're like, yeah, he just told me that they murdered someone. So, yeah, I think maybe you get to, like,
I feel like I've watched a lot of SVU episodes about this.
And that is
definitely, like, I can't.
No, you're right then. That's the end all be all authority on the matter. So,
guys, I got my law degree through Elliot Stabler. Yeah, and
it's fair. It's fair. Well, since this isn't the one that's on the clock, we could just, like, take a quick divergence and be like, how are you feeling about Law and Order Organized Crime with Chris Maloney as Elliot Stabler? We're not really going to go into it. But we should catch back up. We only watched the first episode. What a wild ride. Elliot Stabler.
What a wild ride.
Elliot Stabler, the maddest of lads.
Picked right up where he left.
So Palmer's going to confide all of this to Sherry. Meanwhile, Alan York is finally released from this cop. Terry's story checks out. My favorite part is like the cop just be like, don't speak up to a cop next time. And then as Alan York is walking away, he just shakes his head and goes, idiot.
Yeah. So I was like, that's a great way to be thrown back into cuffs in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, but Alan might not be wrong here. Right. So the police do show up during this chase. There's a police helicopter. They shoot at Jack. Jack has to like fly out of the way. Meanwhile, the poor janitor did come back out and like he caused a distraction for Officer Jessica, who gets held hostage. And at 3:52 in the morning in 27 seconds, there's a standoff that does end in her death. The guy shoots her after Jack drops his gun, but then lunges at the guy. So Jack gets kind of the timing wrong, and this poor woman is killed as a result. Not great.
Sucks.
It does suck. At 3:52 in the morning, almost 3:53, 3:52:54, Terry and Alan miss the ambulance by just a second. They see it go away, but they do find
here
someone.
We go.
They do
here
find
we go.
A witness, a woman.
Here we go.
The bag lady from earlier in the episode. And Terry will say to this woman, do you know what just happened? And the woman's like, oh, I don't know. I can't really speak to that. But our kids were down here. And she goes, you shouldn't let your kids down here. And she goes,
this beautiful Boston transplant, this yes. bag lady from Boston yeah. is clearly on the side of the road watching everything happen. They're like, oh my God, my daughter. And she goes, girl got hit by a car.
Yeah. Yeah.
She goes, well, where did they take her? Where's the closest hospital? St. Mark's is the closest. Like, what? In what world?
This world.
It's a beautiful world that yeah. Boston just very quickly dialed in. She has a better accent than 90% of the people that do Boston accents that are hired by Martin Scorsese. I don't understand it. What a gem. What a treasure. I hope she bagged a lot of opportunities for this. But
St. Mark's is the closest.
St. Mark's is the closest. Your kids shouldn't be coming down here.
Yeah. How did the kid look? Didn't look good.
Not good.
Yeah, she goes.
Not good.
How did she look? Didn't look good.
Didn't look good.
Yeah.
I was like, in what world? Like, I hope that's in her reel somewhere.
This is Emily's world, right?
You know, yeah.
You know, 45 minutes outside of Boston. Like, these are your people. And like, you were just howling. You were dying.
Well, I watched it alone the first time, I was like, excuse me? And then I was like, I can't wait to watch this with Josh.
St. Max is the closest.
St. Max is the closest.
She was hit by a car.
She was hit by a car.
Yeah. Didn't look good.
Didn't look good.
So at least they've got a lead. They can go to St. Mark's.
Your kids shouldn't come down here.
Yeah. You shouldn't let your kids down here. I'll miss the bag lady most of all. Dan and Rick are going to meet up with Ira. And so like, this is like your first clue, right? In a while, at least. If not, this may be your first clue. I'm not sure. That Ira and like his whole deal seems to be linked to the Bauer stuff, right? Because he's responsible for Dan and Rick kidnapping Janet and Kim. He's going to be really rude to Kim. Be good and you'll be back at the mall in a day or two. Be bad and you won't. But Dan's going to say, he's going to be like, where's the other girl? And Dan's like, oh, Janet was a problem. We killed her. And
he's like, body. And he's like, oh.
We took care of it. And I was like,
yeah.
I'm going to put a pin in that and we're going to talk about that later. George is like going to talk to Jamie for a hot second, and then Jack Bauer's name pops up on a police scanner, so he's got a lead there, so he's going to leave it alone. Meanwhile, at 3:57:50, we're at the end of the episode, and Jack Bauer is going to be allowed a couple of minutes to talk to the perp, who is going to be brought into the station. This guy just killed a cop, so he's in big trouble.
I know, the cops are like, we don't feel like relinquishing control over this situation.
We would like to beat the shit out of him before we get a word in.
Yeah, and like Jack's like, can I just talk to him for like a minute? Like, I'm FBI, man. Yeah. Like, this was a pretty intense chase. Yeah, and they're like, fine.
So they let him, and then the guy's like, let me out. And he's like, I can't. He's like, well, that's too bad, Jack Bauer. He's like, what did you say? You know my name? He goes, oh, I know more about you than that. If you ever want to see your daughter again, get me out of here. And immediately Jack Bauer goes up, what do you know about my daughter?
Yeah.
Who are you working for?
Just like pops off. And like the end of the episode is like some split screen bullshit. And Jack Bauer hops in his car and just like goes off in high pursuit of the police. So it's like a big cliffhanger of like, okay, this dude is connected to the Palmer stuff, connected to the mole stuff. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, seems to know that Jack's daughter is missing. And this is escalating for Jack that, like, my daughter is not just, like, out on the town at night, but is, like, legitimately probably been captured.
Well, it's the perfect diversion if you want to, you know, attempt to hit on a presidential primary is, like, tie up the one guy who's excellent at tracking stuff down and finding information, right?
Yep. So that's what's going on. Why is this all connected? Why is this all associated? I think a big mystery has just started here at the end of hour four, 3 to 4 a.m. in the books, Emily Fox.
Wow.
I was going to say, normally this is where the podcast would end, but normally the podcast would have ended 20 minutes ago. We're really just taking our time today.
I know. What a luxury.
It's such a luxury. We get to do this every few episodes. It's going to be great. Yeah. Next week, we'll be back on our 24-minute bullshit. Before that, let's finish going through some feedback, because we did get a bunch of feedback items. Again, Josh at BoShowRecaps.com. Oh, I guess I should ask really quickly, Emily, letter grade. What would you grade this episode of 24?
A+.
A+! This is the best one?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, A+ is pretty good. All right,
I give it for the bag lady.
An A+ for episode 4 of 24. If somebody could go back and just like, I can't listen to them again. If somebody could go back and just collate all of the grades that Emily Fox has given episodes of 24 so far, I'd appreciate it. We'll keep tracking that as we go. An A+ for episode 4. Can't get any better than that unless Emily's got some cool new grades up her sleeve, which I wouldn't be surprised.
Did you ever get an A++ in school?
Yeah, of course. I'm a very smart guy.
See, you can keep going.
All right. Some questions. This is from Ryan. Ryan asked, why would Kim call her mom and not the police? So this is back like when Kim made the call. She called her mother and not the cops. She probably should have called CTU.
Okay. I don't know. I think
if you're Jack Bauer's daughter, you probably have like the CTU number memorized.
You might not, though.
You should.
It's not like she has to call there very often.
You should.
Why wouldn't she call her dad? She's closer with her dad and on better terms with her dad than she is with her mom.
Probably correct. Probably the move. And
she could also be like,
is a counterterrorist operator.
Yeah. And she would probably be like, Dad, I'm not at a party. I don't know where I am. And he'd be like, hold on, I'm tracing the call.
Yeah. You know,
he'd figure it out in like 2 seconds. Instead, she like calls her mom, who she has a bad like relationship with.
Yeah. Yeah, not great. Andrew. Andrew writes in to settle a question of ours from the other week, Emily. Andrew says, I can confirm that the heroin did not need to be injected into the broken arm to take effect. Any vein would have worked for this purpose. Source, yeah. I am a doctor.
Thank
you, Dr. Andrew. Andrew says, love the show. You and Emily are great. Can't wait to continue to follow along.
Thank you.
From Michael. Michael also is like, because we were like, why is Palmer like sucking the blood out of his hand? Is he a vampire, secret vampire? Michael goes, he's nursing his hand from catching the baseball bat. The message for the audience is that he's tough and wouldn't show pain or weakness until the guys left.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I like that. I still prefer my viewing of things, where he is actually, a vampire, and that the whole reason why this whole season of 24 is such a big deal and why David Palmer is such a big deal is that he is potentially going to be the first vampire president.
Vampire King?
Yes. Yeah,
that tracks, Vampire especially King since Palmer. I keep thinking Ira was on Buffy. Like he just has like a Buffy face to him.
Jank is asking, why does Kim Bauer have this super deep V-neck shirt wearing a Boy Scout featuring a Boy Scout camp in Virginia? Jank says, I have no idea how Kim's shirt came to be. It looks like it was designed that way, not repurposed. And I'm not a fashion expert, but who knows? But I've never seen a Boy Scout shirt like that with the deep V exposed midriff. I have no idea how it came to be. The shirt displays the name Goshen, which is a scout reservation in Virginia. You can see the Boy Scouts of America printed as well, and the Goshen logo is unmistakable.
a G in a circle with a feather attached. Goshen consists of 6 camps surrounding a lake, 3 Boy Scout camps, 2 Cub Scout camps, and a high adventure camp. So is Kim Bauer a scout? Is she
feels like a very alumnus? Early. It feels like an early Hollister or Abercrombie nod. She's scouting for boys.
One of the most scandalous things that ever happened to me in like my teenage years was a girl came over with a bunch of my friends, and I relinquished my old Cub Scouts shirt to her, and my my mother was very upset about it.
Why? She's
very upset about why did I do it, or why was my mom upset?
Wait, no, that's weird. Were you just like, here, take my shirt?
No, she was like going through like my stuff because everyone was over, and we're like going through like closets and stuff. And she's like, this Cub Scout shirt's awesome, and she wore it. I was like, yeah, you can just have it. And then I told my mom that I'd given it away, and she was like, that was precious. She didn't like it. She wasn't happy about it.
I mean, it probably would not have given you much joy. It
was. It probably. This was a different Emily. Probably gave her no doxing.
I won't.
Gave her a lot of joy though. So I'm happy for her, and I hope that the Cub Scout shirt is still in the rotation. Would be great.
I doubt it is.
Oh, it's long gone by now.
Yes, it's been gone for a long time.
All right, so we have a technical expert in the post show recaps patron program, the great Eric. Eric with some expertise to bring to bear to 24 and all of like the CTU of it all, things like that. This is from Eric, who has like some really productive feedback. Eric says, I think Emily was close when she said that the most unrealistic part of the first 2 episodes is how often the woman who blew up the plane was topless. From a technical point of view, only one thing really bothered me from these episodes, and I felt it was the most unrealistic part by far, and that's the scene where she exits the plane as she blows it up. Eric says, Eric knows a thing or two about demolitions. Eric says, she used a type of flex liner, linear shape charge, to blow the door, and while shape charges are somewhat directional, there would still be significant blast overpressure inside the area where she's sitting. I think the best case scenario for her is that she would receive a serious concussion and would have some damaged eardrums. It's likely that she would not be conscious as she was sucked out the door. Eric continues and says, exiting a passenger jet moving at full speed would be a very violent experience. And also adds, passenger planes tend to travel at an altitude where you would need supplemental oxygen. I've been videotaped playing patty cake without oxygen in a chamber pressurized to 25,000 feet, and I failed miserably in that very simple task. The person I was playing patty cake with froze up and had to be carried out the chamber.
Oh my God!
Eric adds, finally, she knew the exact right time to exit the plane in order to be able to land at a specific prepared landing site in the desert. That's very unlikely. So Eric taking a naked shirtless Mandy to task. Eric also says,
drag her.
There's no organization like CTU in the U.S. as the FBI has the lead on all terrorism cases. Eric also adds that operation centers or ops intel centers like the one depicted at CTU headquarters are almost entirely made up of decision makers and analysts. Jack is portrayed throughout the series as an elite operator. Shooters or members of elite tactical units like the FBI's CIRG aren't hanging out in ops centers unless they're sent in to be the liaison during a specific operation. And they're certainly not giving orders to analysts. So maybe Jack was taken out of the field at some point and confined to an office job, and he's getting by on stale skills and training. Regardless, it's a full-time job maintaining the skills needed to conduct tactical takedowns of buildings, and there certainly isn't lockers full of guns and tranquilizer darts in most ops centers. So really just like taking apart the Jack Bauer myth.
Do it. I love it.
One tranquilizer dart at a time. But Eric does say about CTU, they do have the best ringtones ever, which I think is totally true. A lot of just like the feedback is like, I'm just pumped to have the opportunity to go back and check out 24. Like, this is from Jesse Camacho, the great Jesse Camacho, who says, so psyched to have the opportunity to go back and watch 24. Definitely some problematic stuff on the rewatch, but the nostalgia for me is strong. Like, I'm fully in the Jesse camp where it's like, but also like, man, this was my thing. And so like, yeah, like there's some shitty shit in here, but also at the same time, it's like, it's 24. And like, I was like very activated by this show. And so like going back and watching it, especially through your lens, Emily, has just been a delight.
And
it's
getting,
been so fun.
And like getting to like click back into it this past week was like when you were like really starting to get back into it was very, 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 very super fun for me.
Good. Good.
So I'm pumped.
All about having fun.
All about
and
having
watching
fun.
CTU operate in a very strange, dysfunctional way.
All right. So next week we'll be back. We're going to be back in the normal mode, 24 minutes. That's what we're aiming for the recap. We will come back with another elongated off the clock episode of Worst Day Ever around episode 8. So you've got between now and episode 8 to get in your feedback, Josh at postshowrecaps.com, or sign up with the Post Show Recaps patron program at patreon.com/postshowrecaps. You can talk to us in the 24 channel. We also have a Worst Day Ever channel, 24 channel. You can like really log your thoughts on 24 as you're watching it. Worst Day Ever, more about the podcast, but we are both highly available for your conversational purposes. Consider signing up, support the podcast. We appreciate it so much if you are able to do so. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. If you like the Wiggler Fox dynamic, another great reason to sign up is so that you can listen to Josh and Emily do Post Show Recaps Theater. It's a weekly patron only podcast where Emily and I plus rotating guests talk about a different movie each and every week, and it is utterly ridiculous, and we would love for you to swing by and join us.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back next week. Emily, anything else?
I think that's it.
All right, Fox, great to be back in business. Fox is 24, or as Deidre Lipsickus recommended, Fox is 24.
Wow, double
saying,
Fox.
From Deej. All right, we'll be back next week talking more 24. Until then, everybody take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.